Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I'm Naima Latif, and today we'll join President Joe Biden at the White House, where he is giving remarks to the leaders of Indigenous Nations of America. The White House held a tribal summit today, and this was an opportunity for President Joe Biden to express his views on the relationships between America and the Indigenous Nations. There are 574 federally recognized Indigenous Nations, variously called Indian Nations, tribes, bands, pueblos, communities, and Native villages. There are 574 federally recognized nations in the United States, and there has been an extensive history between those who immigrated from Europe and the indigenous people who are the inhabitants of the Americas before the arrival of European settlers in the 15th century, and the ethnic groups who now identify themselves with those people. That includes Mexico, with a population of 11.8 to 23.2 million. Venezuela, 724,592. And Argentina, 955,032. And Greenland, 50,189. So in addition to the indigenous people, the American Indians and Alaskan Natives, who are members of the original indigenous peoples of North America, tribal nations have been recognized as sovereign. And today, President Joe Biden addressed the leaders of the indigenous nations, termed Indians, as it is historically known, by the sailor Christopher Columbus, who was on his way to India and was not aware that when he arrived in South America that he had in fact encountered a different people who were not in fact those on the continent of India. And the name stuck. But now the world is recognizing that indigenous people are those who were there before the arrival of explorers and those who came seeking someplace else. The indigenous people of the United States who are not listed as American Indian or Alaskan Native include Native Hawaiians, Samoan Americans, and the Chamorro. The United States maintains a government-to-government relationship with the 574 federally recognized Native American tribes, and there is an American Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. So today, the White House Tribal Summit was an opportunity to reinforce the relationship between the American government and the nations made up of indigenous people. President Joe Biden reiterated the theme of respect. So let's join President Joe Biden as he gives his remarks at the White House today to leaders of the indigenous nations.
Thank you. Thank you for being here and for your partnership. I made a commitment when I ran for president. In fact, I made a commitment when I was basically a 30-year-old senator and a student of Danny Inouye, a senator from the state of Hawaii, who made it clear to me, because I said Indian country, said no, Indian nations. You know, I made a commitment my administration would prioritize and respect nation-to-nation relationships, and I'm going to make sure that happens. I hope our work in the past 2 years has demonstrated that we're meeting that commitment, and that's why I relaunched this convening and elevated event into a White House Tribal Nations Summit, because after a previous administration failed to convene any events, anything on this scale. On my watch, we're ushering in a new era and advancing a way for the federal government to work with tribal nations. And it starts by appointing Native Americans to lead the front lines of my administration. You know, starting with Secretary Holland, we followed dozens of Senate-confirmed Native American officials, over 60 Native American appointees all across my administration, including in the federal courts. I restored the White House Council on Native American Affairs to improve interagency coordination and decision-making. Together, emphasize the word together. Together, my entire administration is advancing the economic agenda and making historic investments in Indian country, and I might add that are long overdue. Facing a pandemic and economic crisis that disproportionately impacted tribal nations, I invested more than $32 billion in the American Rescue Plan, the largest one-time ever direct investment in Indian country in American history. During the pandemic, Native Americans were contracting the virus three times the rate of other groups and losing their lives at twice the rate of other groups. But together, we used that funding to help tribal community to go from one of the most harmed groups by COVID to one of the most vaccinated communities in the entire country. And to all my fellow leaders, you use that funding to address other critical needs as well, such as housing, food assistance, support for tribal economies, and for schools and language. In fact, last year, Jill, my wife, traveled with Deb to the Cherokee Immersion School in Oklahoma. The Cherokee Nation used part of this funding to start building a second school and revitalize the use of the Cherokee language. By the way, she spent a lot of time on other reservations, other nations as well. I'm worried she's not going to come home one of these days when she goes. You think I'm joking? I'm telling you. I hear more about the Navajos than I hear about me. You don't think I'm kidding, don't you? Anyway, learning the native language leads to better outcomes in school, builds confidence in students, and passes down old traditions to new generations. It matters. But it didn't stop there. Together, we're continuing to make a difference. I also made the largest single investment in our nation's infrastructure since President Eisenhower's National Highway Program, the biggest investment in Indian country infrastructure ever in history. More than $13 billion in rebuilding infrastructure in Indian country. And to state the obvious, is long overdue. And we're putting it to work together, building water infrastructure for clean drinking water, safer plumbing systems, delivering affordable high-speed internet, repairing roads and bridges, restoring waterways that are now blocked by roads and highways that affect the migration of salmon as essential to livelihoods and cultures of so many tribes, electrifying diesel school buses so tribal children don't breathe that polluted air generated by diesel engines, and in South Dakota, $29 million of infrastructure funding to help us repair two old dams built in the 40s, and the other one, the first in the 40s, the other in the 60s, on the Pine Ridge Reservation. for years and years now, the tribes have lived in the shadow of disaster, worried the dams would break, destroy their communities. So soon they'll be able to sleep a much more peaceful night, knowing those dams have been fully repaired and rebuilt. This past summer, we're also entering a new era of confronting and adapting to the climate crisis. I signed a law that made the biggest investment ever in all of history. It includes $700 million exclusively for the Native communities. I see their Secretary of Agriculture here, who has also made it clear and made a major contribution. I've seen to it that we use farmlands to absorb carbon from the air and so much more and pay farmers for doing it. It's going to help mitigate the impacts of extreme droughts and wildfires, rising sea levels that affect the sources of tribal foods, tribal resources, tribal traditions, tribal ways of life. It's going to bring clean electricity into your homes. It's going to develop homegrown clean energy so Indian Country helps lead the future to the goal we set of 100% carbon pollution-free electricity by the year 2035. You're all part of that, and you're going to help lead that. To ensure these investments reach native lands, my administration is going to work with the tribes to help them transition to clean energy development and do it quickly. That includes the federal government as the largest single energy consumer in the world, buying more carbon-free electricity from tribal energy producers. We're also going to launch a new electric vehicle initiative for tribal nations to ensure that our nationwide electric vehicle network includes native communities. And, as all of you know, there are tribal communities at risk of being washed away by superstorms, rising sea levels, and wildfires raging. I've flown over several thousand acres of the storms and the fires that have been in the west in particular, and also down in the southwest. And it's devastating. That's why today I'm announcing a $135 million commitment to help 11 tribal communities from Maine, Louisiana, Arizona, Washington State, and Alaska to move, in some cases, their entire communities back to safer ground and pay for that. I've also requested $9.1 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars, from the Indian Health Services. I've asked Congress for the first time ever to make that funding mandatory. That means the funding would always be there, and it insulates Indian Health Services from budget uncertainties to make it harder to deliver the care Indian Country needs and deserves.
Thank you.
We gotta get it done. I need your help in getting it done. And here's another thing that's very important to me. In last year's summit, I signed an executive order to improve public safety and criminal justice for Native Americans and to respond more effectively to the epidemic of missing and murdered Indigenous people. Since then, the United States Department of Justice and Interior have created a lead new federal agency enforcement strategy that takes the special circumstances of these crimes into account. This is a priority to me and to the Justice Department. And so it's using the Violence Against Women Act, which I wrote myself 30 years ago, as my sister would kid and say, with my own paw, I sat down and wrote that, because I feel so strongly about it, to end the scourge of violence against women everywhere. This year, I was proud to sign a reauthorization of this law that includes historic provisions that strengthen tribal sovereignty and safety. And today, I'm announcing even more critical actions that are the result of a meaningful and deliberate consultation process with you all. My administration listened. We heard you. And we're implementing many of the changes you asked for. Today, I signed a new presidential memorandum that improves consultation between the federal government and tribal nations based on key principles. Consultation has to be a two-way, nation-to-nation exchange. To reach consensus among the tribes. There should be adequate time for ample communications. federal agency to prepare a public record for what's transpired during those consultations, and tribal nations should know how their contributions influence the decision-making. And this is a new presidential memorandum requires all relevant federal agencies to get annual training on tribal consultation process. Let me say that again. My administration also continues in all available authorities, including the Antiquities Act, to protect sacred tribal lands. Deb was with me. Deb was with me last year at the White House when I restored national monuments at Bears Ears and the Grand Staircase Escalator in Utah. The National Canyon and Seamounts in New England. And last month, I traveled to Colorado to declare Camp Hale National Continental Divide, the first new national monument in my presidency using the Antiquities Act. Millions of acres. Look. And there's so much more. There's so much more that we're going to do to protect the treasured tribal lands. When it comes to Spirit Mountain and surrounding ridges and canyons in southern Nevada, I'm committed to protecting this sacred place that is central to the creation story of so many tribes that are here today.
All right. Yeah.
And I'm grateful to so many of you who have led the fight to protect it. I especially want to thank Nevada's congressional delegation. I know there's a lot going on. Well, I can see a couple here now. I see Dana Titus is here. Dana, how are you? Thank you for the support. Is Catherine here? Cortez Mastel? She and Senator Rosen, they both are, there's a little action going on in the United States Senate to try to prevent a rail strike. Is Representative Lee in Horsford here? Well, you got the best of the group here, Dana. She's an old friend and a strong supporter. And I look forward to being able to visit Spirit Mountain and experience it with you as soon as I can. And folks, look, I also want to thank Grohl, Chairman of the House Natural Resources, and for his leadership across the board on all the efforts I've talked about here today. I'm also announcing that Deb, as Secretary of Interior, will continue to work with the Secretary of Agriculture, as I said, is here, to co-stewardship the federal lands, because that's what it is. Over 20 new agreements with tribes this year, giving them a greater role in the stewardship of federal lands that are important to their cultures. And it's not stopping there. We have 60 additional co-sponsors, co-stewardship agreements currently under review, and I'm announcing today that the Secretary of Commerce is going to formally join these efforts as well. So let me close. My dad used all the time, respect. Everyone's entitled to be treated with respect and dignity. The dignity that comes from just being who we are. This is especially true for tribal nations, to whom the United States owes a solemn trust and treaty obligations that we haven't always lived up to. When I talk about respect, here's what I mean by respect. Respect for tribes as nations, and treaties as law. Respect for, beg your pardon? I thought I just said no. I was getting a little worried. Respect for indigenous knowledge and tribal consultations as a key part of tribal sovereignty and self-government and self-determination. Support tribal economy. Keep fighting for better tribal health care, child care, education, housing, public safety, and so much more. And respect means being there in person to show it. And you see Jill. You see my wife Jill in Indian Country. She's at a funeral this morning for the mother of a friend of ours. I've spent a lot of time in Indian Country as a senator and vice president, but I can say here today, I intend to make official presidential visits to Indian Country, to make it official. us to recognize this is the only way to move forward. But my administration is doing all it can to demonstrate our commitment to those timeless ideals. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your partnership. And I'm sure I'll make mistakes, but you know me. Don't hesitate to correct me when I make it. I know you. You won't hesitate. But I really mean it. I really mean it. Well, I tell you what. No one's ever done as much as president as this administration is doing. Period. I am committed. As my grandfather Finnegan would say, that's the Irish of it. Thank you all very much.
And that was President Joe Biden at the White House for the Indigenous Nations, the White House Tribal Summit that was held today. In addition to his remarks at the summit, President Biden also announced $135 million for relocation of tribal communities affected by climate difficulties. And let's share a few of those remarks made today as those attending the White House Tribal Summit listen to the promises made by the Biden administration. And President Joe Biden also recognized that many of the lands occupied by indigenous communities have been negatively affected by climate conditions and is announcing that money will be made available for relocation. Let's join the White House again.
As all of you know, there are tribal communities at risk of being washed away by superstorms, rising sea levels, and wildfires raging. I've flown over several thousand acres of the storms and the fires that have been in the west in particular, and also down in the southwest. And it's devastating. That's why today I'm announcing a $135 million commitment to help 11 tribal communities from Maine, Louisiana, Arizona, Washington State, and Alaska to move, in some cases, their entire communities back to safer ground and pay for that.
Again, a very much historic, definitely a historic announcement made today at the White House, and a remark that sets a precedent, especially because the United States government has, since the time of the massive relocation of Native communities, not been known for its assistance of tribal communities, voluntarily leaving because of floods or fires or other natural disasters. So this was a change and definitely a historic move made by the White House, as announced by President Biden. And it is something welcomed by the Native American nations. In other news, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced in Springfield today that there will be a historic marker to commemorate President Obama's presidential announcement. The marker will be located on the lawn of the old state capitol in Springfield. Today, in Springfield, Governor Pritzker, representatives from the Obama Foundation and the Old State Capitol Foundation, state lawmakers and community members dedicated a historical marker on the grounds of the Old State Capitol in Springfield to commemorate President Barack Obama's momentous 2007 and 2008 presidential campaign announcements from the building's lawn. On February 10th, 2007, a bright-eyed junior senator from our great state stood at the old state capitol to begin his journey to the White House by laying out his vision for the United States, a vision where change was possible, progress was near, and hope would prevail above all, said Governor J.B. Pritzker today. He added, "The past few years have taken a toll on all of us. But our resiliency and perseverance have been driven by the most American of virtues, hope. This marker is a reminder that one of our favorite sons brought a message of hope that resonated at a crucial time to people all across the world. Here in the land of Lincoln and the home state of Barack Obama, our people will never stop believing that a better future is possible." In Illinois, we honor the leaders who have made history so their legacy may guide us to the future, said Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton. With this dedication, we shine a light on the path forged by President Obama, beginning in Springfield and extending across our nation, so that the next generations are inspired to take us even further. President Obama showed all of us that we can be the change we want to see in the world, and it is with great pride that this site will live on as a cornerstone of Illinois history. President Obama, a former Illinois state lawmaker, was a U.S. senator representing Illinois when he announced his bid for presidency from the old state capitol with his family on February 10, 2007. The announcement attracted statewide, national, and international attention to Springfield and the old state capitol. An estimated 17,000 people gathered at the site to watch. When I think back to February 2007, I will always return to the thousands of people who came together from different walks of life because they believe in their collective ability to bring about change, said Obama Foundation Executive Vice President of External Affairs, Michael Strautmanis. He added, it's an incredibly inspiring story that not only informs the work of the Obama Foundation today, but one that we will be proud to share with visitors all over the world who come to the Obama Presidential Center when it opens on Chicago's beloved South Side. The Obama Center, of course, will be located in the Hyde Park community on Chicago's South Side. And 18 months later, on August 23rd, 2008, after his announcement, President Obama returned to the old state capitol for another major announcement that U.S. Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware would be his running mate. Again, Springfield and the old state capitol became the focus of international attention. And now, of course, this location is marking that history. Well, that's all for today. You've been listening to the on-air daily news for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I'm Naima Latif. And until tomorrow, we want you to enjoy the rest of your day.